Hello, romantics. I'm Sarah Gomez, author, romance lover, and host. You're listening to Romancing the Story, a podcast centered around writing, reading, and story structure, all with a twist of romance. We're at episode 58, and on today's episode, I speak with Liz Lincoln and Lainey Davis about athletic experiences that have influenced their books and how sports romances hinge on behind-the-scenes dynamics more than what happens on the field. Plus, they get me hyped up for the World Cup and excited for some soccer. At the end of the day, they taught me a lot about their love for the game and geeked out about how the passion translates into writing a sports romance. Plus, they both seem very knowledgeable about news and current events inside the sport, which is super impressive. I personally think being informed on a topic you choose to write about lends more credibility and interest in your writing. Liz and Lainey shared with me about periods, performance, and common injuries, and I hope to see more of those topics make its way into their books. And speaking of books, links to connect with Liz and Lainey, as well as finding their available sports romances, are listed in the show description. I do use some Amazon affiliate links, so if you buy through the link, it helps the podcast and is always appreciated. With that said, let's jump right in. Welcome, romance authors, Liz Lincoln and Lainey Davis.
Yay!
Hello.
Hi, thank you for having me.
I am so excited to do this episode with you. I've been wanting to do a sports-oriented episode for a long time now, for at least a year. So in case listeners don't know, can both of you kind of tell a little bit about yourselves and your writing?
I'm Lainey Davis. I live in Pittsburgh and almost all of my books are set in Pittsburgh. And I write steamy contemporary romance, often with sports. I have played sports all my life. I play women's soccer right now. And so it is always showing up on my in my stories.
I'm Liz Lincoln. I live in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and I believe all but one of my books are set here, and I do not play sports. I am not athletic, but I love watching them. I grew up in, my stepdad was a big sports fan, especially football, so I have a football series as well that is re-releasing this fall, but then my daughter got really into soccer and fell in love with women's soccer and got me into it. And I kind of looked around and saw that there were very, very few romances about women's soccer and about women athletes in general. So I thought it would be really fun to write one or, well, write a series.
Write a bunch of them.
I'm with you, Liz. I'm not really an athlete, but like sports romance kind of has a kind of a big piece of my heart. And the reason for that is I actually worked in the sports industry. And like I did my internship there and I worked for a national league that it was actually hockey. I worked for the National Hockey League here in Texas. When you get into the industry, people know each other. So like It was really a fun industry to kind of see that side of it. So I'm always like curious when I read like sports romances, because you kind of did hear a little bit about that in the on the, you know, off the field, you know what I mean? So yeah. Like there was always a little bit of gossip there and stuff. So I know that was like what was a big piece of for me for sports romance. But what made you ladies kind of want to write a soccer or football for our international audience, sports romance?
I mean, for me, the book that Liz and I have been kind of talking about is my book, Beautiful Game. And I wrote that when midway through pandemic, I joined a women's soccer team for women over 30 here in Pittsburgh. We're called the Dyna Moms. And it was just like the best thing that ever happened to me. I had been quarantined in my house with three sons and a husband for 18 months. And I was like, wow, these are really awesome soccer women. And so in my book, both the hero and the heroine play soccer. And I created a fictionalized version of the Dyna Moms called the Fee Moms. And it just was really important and exciting for me to share that story, because it was something that had meant so much to my life at a really tough time.
Sweet. And Liz, what about you?
Well, like I said, my daughter was really into soccer. She, when she was six, she told me she wanted to play professionally. She actually started following the national team and the NWSL, which is the National Women's Soccer League, which is the U.S.'s professional women's soccer team or soccer league. And she picked out her favorite players. She's a huge Alex Morgan fan, like a lot of girls.
Yeah.
And we just started following the team and following the NWSL teams, and got really into the 2019 Women's World Cup. I just thought, I love the found family aspect. That's always been one of my favorite tropes. And a team has that automatically built in. So I really love that aspect. And then I just thought it would be fun to combine my two loves, the women's soccer and romance novels.
That's such a great point you bring up, because that is something that I think is kind of such an appeal, right, for the sports romance in particular, is because I think there is this automatic, like, you have this built-in kind of family baked in already, and you know the different personality dynamics you have within each team or off and on the field, right? It's always such an interesting kind of way that people portray that, and I love that. Especially Liz, you mentioned that you kind of used both POVs, and Lainey, you did too, kind of like different POVs for like the athletes. Like Lainey, I think you said you had both protagonists were both athletes.
Yeah. And I actually have done that in a couple of my books where the hero and the heroine both are athletes, just because in all of the relationships I've ever been in, you know, everybody's been an athlete, not necessarily in the same sport.
And see, that's so fascinating to me, because that does show like a different, I think, a different side to it as well, because you can both have athletes, but they don't both necessarily have to be one specific sport, you know, or opposed to like what we usually see, which is like one athlete and one non-athlete in particular. And Liz, like you're taking a whole nother venture in kind of like the women's soccer, which we don't see of that often.
Yeah. And in my series, well, the third book in the series has two athletes. It's a female-female sapphic romance. And so they are teammates on their NWSL team, but rivals at the national level, because one of them plays for Canada and the other plays for the US. Ooh. So that was sort of a fun teammates, but rivals. And then They're also teammates.
Just to add more tropes, layer the more tropes to it.
Exactly.
We love it. We love layering tropes around here. How, when you were approaching your writing process and writing these awesome books that you have out, how did you ladies kind of know soccer was the right sport for your books? And did you do any research kind of before you started writing?
I mean, for me, it was soccer was the story before I thought of the love story, because I just knew I wanted to be writing about this experience that I was having, because it was so present for me. This team that I'm on, like, it's just always there. If it snows, we shovel the field, right? Like, and so I became really obsessed with the idea of how important that might be for a single mom. And so the mom character showed up, and it really all built from there. And I didn't need to do a ton of research about the sport because I was living it. And I am already familiar with what goes on in your head during a game and how that relates to your outside life and how you fit the preparation for sport into your life and how that might impact a relationship. So that my book, Beautiful Game, was really kind of just a love story and also a love story about soccer and playing soccer.
Liz, and what about you?
I guess because I was living the soccer mom life so much at the time, and watching so much soccer, I just felt like it would be fun to combine the two, like I said earlier. As far as research goes, you know, I was going to games and practices all the time for my daughter. And while youth soccer is a little different, the rules, the game is mostly the same. And then we were watching all the professional games. So darn, had to watch soccer games as research. That was really tough. So yeah, it just evolved that way. And then in terms of researching kind of what the players' lives are like off the field, you know, some of that is imagination, but we also listen to a couple different soccer podcasts that are actually hosted by women on the national team. One of our favorites is Snacks, which is hosted by Lynn Williams and Sam Mewis. And they're best friends. They're hilarious. And all their guests are other soccer players. So you just get this really insider view of their mindset, their lifestyle, all that kind of stuff. And then social media helps too. You know, I get to see them getting off the plane in New Zealand this week, and who has tons of luggage and who only had one bag was the social media controversy this week. So yeah, there's a lot of research avenues out there.
There are. Yeah. And I know that, and I love that you both took different kind of approaches to it. Lainey, you kind of had the built-in approach to it. And Liz, you listen more to podcasts or things like that, kind of just like in the right zeitgeist kind of what's out there. And Liz, I'm kind of curious, did you actually love the sport so much? You're like, oh, I have to write a romance in the sport. Or did the kind of the writing come first? And then you thought about, oh, I can put this in the realm of soccer.
I think the love of the sport was first. And then I was talking with a friend who has a couple soccer romances of her own. And we were lamenting the lack of women's. And I was like, huh, maybe I'll just write some for my next series. And then it was, you know, it was the start of the pandemic when I started the first book. And it was, nothing else is going on. I might as well write this. You know, there wasn't soccer being played. So this was how I connected back to the sport.
I love that. I love that both of you ladies both took like, you know, I really love this. I'm going to make it into a book. And who else but romance writers will say like, huh, there's not much space for this. So I'm going to carve out a little space for me too. Lainey, now has your series, you have two books out in your series, right?
So I have two books from different series that touch on soccer.
Oh, gotcha.
And I have sports romance that shows up kind of all the time. So in my Stag Brothers series, there's a couple different brothers who play various sports. And I've written football and hockey romance. The very first romance books that I wrote were sports romance. And I think that's because that had just always been part of my life. I played sports all through college. Like it was, so that was the world I liked to watch on TV. That was the kind of books that I liked to read. So sports romance has just always been a top thing for me.
And Liz, did you, how many in your series now? Like how many or how many books?
It's a trilogy. So three books.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And the third one just came out in June. So they're all out now. And
Lainey, I know you had kind of mentioned it, which was so interesting to me, that it can be kind of a delicate balance to blend like action and romance. And especially like you ladies said, kind of being in the head of the athlete, you know, you don't want that to kind of overtake the romance part of it, right? The kind of the connection part of it. What challenges did either of you face kind of balancing the sports scenes with the romance?
In a lot of ways, writing a sports romance is ideal for me because there's always the big game and there are just some like natural plot things that happen automatically with a sports romance. So the arc of a season is always kind of baked into the sidelines. So, you know, your character can't get too stressed out before the big game. So I have that kind of arc as an external plot scaffold always, but there aren't a lot of sports action scenes in my books because, I mean, readers aren't really there to read about a soccer match. They're there to read a love story. And so I work really hard to make any of the action scenes do something else with the plot, where we're figuring out something about the hero or the heroine and their character and their deep desire. Yeah, I think I have fewer than three like sports action scenes, but there's a ton of stuff that happens in locker rooms and on the bus to the away game and during the press conference. And so all of those other parts of the sports world, I think, play a bigger part in my sports romance.
And Liz, what about you?
It's kind of the same thing. If I'm going to put in an action sports scene, it needs to do something else besides just be a play-by-play. In Scoring a Spouse, which is the first one in my series, she is actually dealing with rheumatoid arthritis. She's just been diagnosed. And I put in that one because I have rheumatoid arthritis and wanted to see how that would play, kind of going through the what ifs if a pro athlete was diagnosed with a pain condition. So this is her secret. No one knows it except her doctor and eventually a few friends find out. So there's a scene where she's playing and she is having a lot of pain and she has to deal with that. So those kinds of scenes, I think in the other two books, I give each of my players an injury that then, you know, puts their season in question and things. So I write the injury scene. None of them are really gory or anything. Her running down the field, taking the shot on goal, but her knee stabs with pain, I think is the scene in book two. And she immediately knows she is injured, but true to character, her first thought is, did I make the goal? So things like that to balance it. But tried to keep in mind, you know, Ted Lasso is the big soccer media at the moment. And, you know, none of us watched it for the soccer. That was a fun backdrop. And so I tried to take some cues from that and leave the soccer as the backdrop that pushes all these other characters and plot points and tropes.
Yeah. And if you're watching Ted Lasso, there's some episodes where you don't even see them on the field. You always see them in the locker room. You always see them relating to each other off the field, but related to the field. But sometimes they like fade to black. We see them going onto the field and then we see them coming off the field after the match has happened. So it's definitely not about the soccer.
I guess maybe that's why I am kind of attracted to like some of the other sports romances, and I've been kind of very interested in doing it because it does have so much to deal with the drama behind the scenes, or like that external kind of conflict of like the pressure, right? Of like Liz, like you said, being injured, or Lainey, maybe like you kind of mentioned like the day-to-day kind of like pressures of like athleticism. And there was just as much drama, if not more, behind the scenes we saw a lot, as opposed to like just on the field and or like on the ice in my case. But like it was such a small world. Everyone knew everything. So we often, by the way, soccer fans are like the best. The soccer team was like the best. They were the nicest. There's a hierarchy. I don't know if you guys know that, but there is a hierarchy to sports. But like the soccer teams are always the nicest people. And they were so good to their fans. Because I feel like it's not as big of a sport in the U.S. as it is like internationally. Yeah. And that was always the hurdle, I think, for a lot of soccer fans.
It's definitely growing. Next summer, they're starting a second women's soccer league. And of course, I am blanking on the name of it. But it's starting in like 7 cities. And then it's in 2025, it's expanding to more cities. And I know one of them will be Madison, Wisconsin, because that's going to be the closest one to me. So that's going to be really interesting to see how that unfolds as a competitor to the NWSL. Lainey, I think you're getting a team in Pittsburgh as well.
I think we are too. And we do have a pro men's team in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh is a sports city. So I'm trying to think about like your point about the types of fans and the accessibility. I mean, our Pittsburgh Penguins, they make themselves pretty available to people. You can go watch their trainings. They're doing a ton of charity work. I think the Steelers are also sort of, and I'm not speaking from the management level. Like, I don't know how they are interacting with one another, but I mean, people here love their sports fans, but the soccer is not quite so huge. So if my family goes to a Riverhounds match, my boys could meet the players after and get signatures. And I love the idea of doing that with some pro women's sports soon.
We don't have much soccer in Milwaukee. We have, I guess, like the minor league that actually like the women's team plays at my husband's old high school's football stadium. So it tells you how elite they're treated. But Chicago has an NWSL team, the Red Stars, and we have gone down for several games. You can go up to the edge of the, you know, the front row seats after the game, and the players all come and sign autographs and, like, you know, take a selfie with you. And so my kids have signatures from all kinds of a bunch of the U.S. women. They have their favorite is they have pictures with Sam Kerr, who is the star of the Australian women's team. Yeah, they're just so accessible after the games, especially for kids. They really welcome doing things for the kids at the games and stuff. So, and we have tickets to see Megan Rapinoe's final soccer game. Well, at least the NWSL level, she'll probably have a big send off with the U.S. team. But her final NWSL game is in Chicago, and we have tickets for that. So I'm very excited.
I'm leaving very soon for New Zealand and Australia for the World Cup. And I
am so jealous.
I know you are. Awesome. But I definitely hope to, you know, write a sports romance kind of set in that realm too, because everything about the World Cup experience has been, there's a Facebook group for Americans who are going, and that is the liveliest, most excited place on the internet. And just the energy around being tourists there, like, the New Zealand seems very excited to welcome us all. So that has
so many of the games are sold out, which is a first for women's soccer.
Yeah, I'm trying so hard to get my husband a seat at the round of 16 in Sydney. We don't have a ticket for him there yet.
Well, and I love that you bring up the World Cup, because first off, that's amazing, Lainey. Congrats. I mean, I'm jealous too now. But like, for additional like accuracy and realism, like I know you guys incorporated like the World Cup into your, Liz, I know you incorporated into your story. Lainey, it sounds like you'll have one later down the line. So like, is there any other fun experiences you have incorporated that revolve around soccer? And Lainey, it sounds like you're going to involve that World Cup experience once you get it.
Yeah. Well, and so some of my sports romance has pro athletes, but I also have, so my book, Liquid Courage, the hero and heroine are just recreational soccer athletes, and it's still as big a part of their lives and as important to them. And so for me, I just really like the idea of putting in real life stuff, because there's so many adults in my realm who are playing recreational sports and it's so important to them, and it's how they met their spouse. And stuff like, here we've had a bunch of smoke from the Canadian wildfires and we had to cancel Dynamom's practice. And it was the first time that had ever happened. I mean, I'm telling you, I have shoveled snow. I have played in hail. Like, so the fact that we had to cancel for noxious air was, all of us were bereft. And so all of that to me makes for really good story bait later. Just the way that people's everyday lives are impacted, and I can center it around sports.
Well, I mentioned that in Scoring a Spouse, the female main character, Erica, has just been diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis. Mm-hmm. And I was diagnosed when I was 14 with that. So that is one reason I laugh about the idea of being an athlete, because while she is able to continue playing with her disability, I've had a lot of limitations on my activity, especially, you know, it ebbs and flows and I've gone through harder times. So some of the experiences in that sense are very real. Used to be on an injectable and having to give yourself shots every 2 weeks is not the most fun you can have. You know, there's lighter moments too, like last summer went to the Chicks concert in Chicago with my daughter and a friend. And there were all kinds of people walking around wearing t-shirts that said, some of y'all don't know what happened to Earl, and it shows. If you're a Chicks fan and you know the song Goodbye Earl is funnier than if you don't know the song, then it doesn't make sense. But it's just one of those moments in life where you kind of laugh at it and go, I have to put that in a book. And so I had the main character in book two wearing that t-shirt. And my friend that was with us tweeted about it when she was like, I was there when she came up with this idea. So sometimes it's fun to just put in those little kinds of things, the sort of humorous moments in life that give a little levity to the book. And
I love picking up on little details too. Like I've been to a couple of pro hockey games here, and there's just this famous knitting lady who sits in the Pens arena and knits all the time. And I love the idea of just having this recurring side character who's sitting there knitting. And so I really do sort of soak up all of the stuff that's happening around me to later pop into a book. If I have a meet cute I want to write based on a experience we had recently with a mechanic. So I'm filing that away to build a book around it eventually.
I have a meet cute in one of my football books that I was at the grocery store and I had forgotten my wallet. And the guy behind me in line, you know, because I was saying to the cashier, okay, can you put my groceries aside? I'll go home, get my wallet. And I had my then 2-year-old with me. Such a hassle to get toddlers in and out of a car. But so the guy behind me said, you know what, don't worry about it. And he said, here, throw this on the tab. And he bought my groceries for me.
Oh, sweet.
And it was amazing. And I was telling some friends about it. And they're like, you got to use that for a meet cute. Yes. So the meet cute in my first football book is he buys her groceries because she forgot her wallet. And that's their meet cute.
And I feel like a lot of the soccer or a lot of not just soccer, but a lot of sports romances in particular, being especially as I've seen some of these like things firsthand, it seems like there's so much fodder for like a lot of little meet cutes and things like that. You both write like really great soccer romances, and there is a difference and distinct writing style to each of your books. So how do either of you like approach writing a sports romance in your style and make it appealing to readers?
I am bad at deciding my tropes in advance. And I know, you know, successful romance books are trope heavy. And so I've been getting better at like being more deliberate. But I think in terms of just like the arc and the engaging plot, it's all coming from something that's inspired by reality. When we had Juju Smith Schuster here playing for the Steelers, he was famous for riding his bike to the stadium every day, and then his bike was stolen. It was all over the news. Oh. And so those kinds of stories that are happening in real life to real athletes, you know, I've been able to file those away and see if they feed into somebody's wound that I want to address in a romance novel, or if they could be part of somebody's meet cute.
So you don't really get into the technical stuff though, right? Too much. So make it easier if like someone who doesn't know a whole lot about soccer. I saw a lot of the corporate side of it, but I didn't see too much of like on field. And it's been, last time I played soccer, I was 8 years old. So I could go into it, but understand everything fine because like you said, it focuses on the romance more so.
Yeah. I try not to use too many terms, lingo and jargon. And then I know, you know, Adriana Locke was saying on social media recently that she was using some wrestling terms in her book and it got flagged as typos. And I was like, I really want to be careful about about using special terminology or something, because the regular reader who isn't a soccer player wouldn't be able to grab that anyway.
Exactly. Because it is about the romance so much. And though those terms are used, right, might be used regularly, someone like I was saying, like me, I always use me as an example. Sometimes if I'm going into it and I'm just like, oh, Lainey's book looks amazing, I'm definitely going to pick it up. I could read it and still find myself invested deeply into these characters and the story without kind of having too much of barriers, right? As far as like the sports.
I try and do the same, not have too much overwhelmingly soccer jargony. I'm certainly not going to try and explain the offsides rule to anyone. But in terms of a writing process, I do like to pick my tropes first. My earlier books, I didn't do that. And I found that it just didn't work well. I have since revised my process and I do pick my tropes up front. And I find there are certain tropes that kind of become a theme throughout the books. Like I mentioned, found family earlier, having now written 2 sports series set around teams, and they're very much found family. The next series I'm kind of planning is going to have, it's going to have some real family, but also found family aspects and stuff. So that's clearly just a trope I'm almost always going to have.
Well, and one thing Liz is really great at and has inspired me with my marketing is doing these kind of lists of universal fantasies that readers love. Like you talk about the gerbil that is, or the guinea pigs.
Guinea pig, yes.
Yeah. So Liz is so great at listing non-sports related universal elements that everyone would love about her books.
Yeah. The second book has, she has a pair of guinea pigs and they take over her living room. She has like half her living room fenced off for them. And that's actually inspired by real life. A friend of mine has, well, they had two guinea pigs and sadly one of them died. But so my character's two guinea pigs are named for her guinea pigs. If anyone knows Bee and her books on is her social media, she's a librarian. She actually lives in my neighborhood. And yeah, so they made it into the book. An adorable little relief.
Oh, that's super cute. And Liz, I meant to mention it earlier, but something that I saw quite a bit was we had a lot of medical staff, and I'm actually really thrilled that I include like injuries and stuff like that, like dealing with those things, like the kind of long-term injuries into your book, because I know that was something that I saw quite often. In fact, we did worry about one of the players just because they always said, it sounds awful, but they said there was like a shelf life to that certain position that he had simply because, well, because he got knocked around quite a bit. So that was always a real concern as far as like the back end of it, I remember. And that was something I always thought was like one of those things that was a ticking clock as far as like you have so long to be in this sport. So that was something that was always like up top of mind for me, just I thought was very interesting, and always wondered if that was something that other people incorporated in their romances. Do you ever put like I know Lainey, the adult or the protagonist in some of your books actually do it as recreational.
Yeah. Well, and I'm also very interested in sports romance stories where the professional athlete is either retired and having to redefine themselves, or they've had to retire or stop due to injury, because, and I do know this, like as, especially when I was playing sports in college, like it is such a big part of your life. And then when you're in either the off season or you've graduated, it's like, whoo, there's this big hole I got to fill. And that is just really ripe for some good romance storytelling.
Oh yeah. And that's what I've kind of heard for like Olympians and everything like that. You always have like this big build up to like this big thing, like maybe the World Cup or like the Olympics or something like that. You have like, you're always focused on that. But then, like you said, there's off times or off seasons where like all kinds of mayhem can ensue, right? Romance shenanigans, if you will. So, and Liz, did you ever, is that something you've kind of continued going forward, is thinking about those injuries or things like that, that could be like an after career thing?
In book two, there's the ticking clock is the Olympics are coming up. And so she wants to get healed in time to be on that Olympic roster. And then in book three, it's similar. The end of season, end of USL playoffs are coming, and she wants to be in the game. So her injury could prevent that. And I actually, the next book and series that I'm starting fairly soon, the male main character is going to be one of the football players from my football series dealing with a career ending injury, but he's throughout the book, he's going to have to accept that this is career ending and not just season ending. So dealing with that choice. And my football series, actually one of the books, he's got a torn ACL. And so he's got the whole season off and he's dealing with that. And I did definitely want to incorporate an ACL because that's just such a common, I think there's, I was reading an article just last night, they made like an imaginary team of all the high profile players who are missing the World Cup due to severe injuries. And the majority of the team, it's ACLs. There's just been tons of ACL tears throughout women's soccer. Apparently women's bodies, the way our hips are developed, we're more likely to tear our ACLs than men.
Yeah, and I participated in some research in college too about just the impact of the fluctuations of our hormones.
Yeah.
And how that can impact an ACL or the knee stability in general.
The USWNT actually employs a specific training staff person to adapt training routines and play schematics and stuff to where the players are in their cycle. I read a really in-depth article about it after the 2019 World Cup, and it talked about which players had their period during the final.
Yeah.
And things like that. So
sidebar, I am so excited about the World Cup because the US team and the England team, they're going to be unveiling these the first ever Nike menstrual shorts. So there's period underpants now, and now there's shorts, which, I mean, the England team wore all white for a very long time. And so the fact that they're going to be there in some navy shorts, super excited about that. And, you know, just, I play on a rec women's team, like period management is a huge thing. And it shows up in my books because it exists as a really big part of life as an athlete, as a female athlete, or as a menstruating.
Yeah. The NWSL this year too, a number of the teams, because the away uniforms are always white jerseys and they would just have white shorts with them. And a number of the teams this year are doing the shorts in their team color instead of doing them in white. So that, yeah, you don't have period stains on your white soccer shorts.
And these are things you may not think about, like, going into it, but these are things that like exist and are such a big part, right, of being an athlete. I mean, that can create some like great, like a character development as far as like how they're dealing with it, how the public's dealing with it, and just to raise up important issues in the romance kind of community at large. Cause I mean, we don't really hardly talk about menstrual cycles, but it does. I mean, it happens.
Yeah.
It's a big part of being, you know, of having a period. So like you have to deal with these.
Yeah.
I admit it's one I overlooked in my series, and kind of looking back, if I was going to revise it, I probably would work that into the series. Yeah. Going forward, it's definitely going to factor in my books.
Well, and I'll keep my eyes on the World Cup, lady. Now that you mentioned that, I'm excited to hear all about that when Nike's reveals that, the shorts. And that's so awesome because that's just more inclusivity as far as like thinking about all the female athlete or the menstruating athletes out there who could definitely utilize those, especially at a professional level.
There's one non-binary player in the World Cup, at least one that's out as non-binary. They play for Canada. They also play for, is it Portland or Seattle? I think they play for Portland in the NWSL.
Well, and Liz, I know you had some sapphic too. You had some sapphic representation in your books. Did that kind of like lead to different kind of like writing the character with a little more care than what you would usually do, or do any more research going into that? Because I know, you know, that specific space is, you know, it might be look different than what a heterosexual romance might look like.
Yeah. For that, I had a sensitivity reader for the books to make sure that I was representing Rose appropriately. I identify as bisexual, so there are bisexual characters in all three of the books, but I did still have a sensitivity reader for that as well, just because my experience as a bisexual woman is I'm married to a man and have been with him since I was 20. You know, my experience is very different than that of my characters who have dated a lot of women and are, you know, still just in the dating world and things like that. I definitely wanted to make sure I got the representation right and accurate and not perpetuating harmful stereotypes or ideas.
Yeah, I have side characters on my women's soccer teams in my books who are sapphic. And I got to tell you, there are a lot of people on my soccer team who are really wanting me to write a sapphic romance and have volunteered as authenticity readers. But I'll send them Liz's way for now. I have not felt ready for that challenge yet, just because, you know, the way that Liz was saying, like, it is outside of my experience. I haven't felt ready to represent that kind of love story yet as the main feature.
Yeah,
I'm actually kind of proud right now. You know, everybody gets 1-star reviews, but my most recent rash of negative reviews have all been people who are upset at the queer people that I have represented in my books. And so I am a little bit proud that I have done such a good job being inclusive that I am making people upset.
Badge of honor. I like that.
Definitely.
Not upset that they aren't represented, but upset that there is representation. So
in romance, we can have all of the people we want, you know, queer, bisexual, straight, doesn't matter.
Everyone deserves a happily ever after.
And I was going to say soccer is such a multinational, multicultural, multiracial sport. Even though the NWSL is just in the U.S., players come from all over the world. You know, one of the biggest Brazilian players in the world, two of the biggest Brazilian players in the world, Marta and Davina, are in the NWSL. There's Japanese women, there's African women, and, you know, it's from all over. So I, you know, try to reflect that in the secondary characters on my team as well.
I find that that is absolutely true of recreational soccer as well. There's this one sports complex in Pittsburgh, and every Sunday there's this international game. And I just love to be there and hear all the different accents coming out. Like, literally all around the world, there's people from Liberia, there's people from Jamaica. I mean, it is this universal, I'm struggling for the word, for the thing that brings people together, and soccer.
Community.
We've talked all about like your lovely books. So where can listeners find them and how can they connect with you?
My books are everywhere. Books are sold. And my website is laineydavis.com, L-A-I-N-E-Y. And you're going to want to subscribe to my newsletter because Liz and I are doing a really cool promotion in conjunction with the Women's World Cup in August. So definitely sign up for that.
And Lainey, just quick question. Are you going to have any updates? Are you going to update live from the World Cup?
Oh, I do plan to post on my Instagram when I am down under. So my Instagram is at author Lainey Davis.
Well, same. My books are everywhere. You can get books just about. My website is lizlincoln.com. You can find the links to all my socials there. I am going to be posting a lot also on Instagram and probably Twitter about the World Cup as it goes on. I know they play, I believe, the first game the U.S. plays Portugal is at like 3 a.m. in Wisconsin. So I may sleep through that one and catch it on video later. But the first game is an 8 p.m. one. I'll definitely be watching that. My daughter and I already are planning our day around it. Like Lainey said, we're doing a bunch of promotion the week of the World Cup final. So subscribe to my newsletter. That's right there on my website. And we've been tossing around the idea of doing some sort of social media live thing for the final game, which hopefully the U.S. women will be in and win. Spoiler, but they do in my book. so let's hope that I have the power to accurately predict that.
Thanks so much to Liz and Lainey for joining the show. Be sure to follow me on social media at Romance the Story. That way you can keep up with new and prior guests, as well as episodes to come. And if you're enjoying the content, please follow, share, or leave a review. It greatly helps the podcast. As always, stay safe, be well, and keep writing.